Blog Talk Radio.
From the NCAA Tournament 15th seed to the eventual victory march of the champions, and broadcasting from a small cinder block lined basketball hoop attached single wide trailer. Good morning, folks. 6:06 here, Kelly. So glad you joined me today on this March. And we're starting to experience a little bit of March madness. And we're in the tournament, so you cannot complain about that, of course. But we're 15th seed, and, well, I don't know. 15th seed is pretty far down there, isn't it? But we're going to give it a shot. International news, national news, local news, all coming your way. We've got BB, who has won a landslide victory, as we have been talking about. And now they say that Obama is not really accepting, you know, Obama not a fan of BB's, perhaps planning to do something in the United Nations about Israel. Could it have anything to do with the two-state solution? And that we are being told by foreign policy that Obama was really hoping for a new prime minister so peace talks with the Palestinians could be revived. And now that that's off the table, that we're going to go to the United Nations and ask for some relief. So anyway, let me get you a little bit of basketball news here. And the Secret Service, I think, are getting drunk and driving around and stuff. So, and their videotapes of this activity are disappearing. They may be using Hillary Clinton's IT manager on this one. Here we go. What we've got right here is. And this is ESPN's picks for the NCAA crown, and this is taking a little bit of a stroll down memory lane.
It was 1976, Gerald Ford in the White House. Two guys in a garage start a computer company called Apple. A certain underdog would go on to win Best Picture. In college hoops, nothing rocky nor underdog about the Hoosiers. Like this year's Kentucky team, they started the season ranked number one, and never relinquished it. Like this year's Kentucky team, their head coach was as polarizing as he was successful. Like this year's Kentucky team, they steamrolled the opposition. Indiana beat down teams by over 17 a game. Kentucky thus far with an average margin of victory of 21. But it was a far different world when those Hoosiers pitched the last perfect season. There was no shot clock, no three-point line, and no dunking. The so-called Luau Cinder rule wouldn't be overturned until after the season. The Hoosiers needed to win just 32 games that season. Kentucky's already won 34. Back then, the perfect season was almost commonplace. The Hoosiers were the fifth team in just 13 years to go undefeated. They had two first-team All-Americans, Kent Benson and National Player of the Year Scott May. This Kentucky team may not have any All-Americans. Indiana started four seniors and a junior, and underclassmen scored only 14% of the points. John Calipari hasn't had an everyday senior starter in 4 years. His underclassmen put up 86% of the numbers on the board.
We don't have stuff. We have reinforcements, like tanks coming over the hill.
Both these teams come from uniquely basketball-centric states. The sport is stitched into the fabric of each place, making it a fitting time to end this 39-year drought and share not just a border, but history, too.
All right, so that's one, I guess, pretty obvious who the favorite is. And here is, what are the chances of a number 15 upsetting a number 1? Or a number 16. Here's a little look back at an epic upset from ESPN, which could be a precursor, a model for our Aggies.
Upsets make March Madness. We've had 15 seeds beat 2 seeds, 14s over 3s. But never before has a 16 beaten a 1 in the men's tournament. They are 0-92. But it has happened in the women's tournament one time. That was 10 years ago when 16 seed Harvard shocked the world by beating number one seed Stanford. Steve Cyphers takes us down memory lane.
This is it, folks. If it's not here, it's not going to happen. Let's jump across the bracket to the West, and the number one seed in the West, Stanford. They'll open up against Harvard. Cardinals begin their quest for a fourth straight Final Four appearance.
We were very, very upset we were 16. We thought that was disrespect.
While Harvard felt it was seeded too low, Stanford was no longer the team that had earned a number one seed, having lost two of its star players, Vanessa Nygaard and Kristen Fokel, to injury in the week leading up to the game.
It was totally depressing in the gym. There was absolutely no enthusiasm. With those two injuries, no one wanted to practice. It was really, really, really hard week.
Not so for a giddy Harvard, who, the day before the game, got its first look at Stanford's home court and a feel of the floor with a unique spring suspension.
So we were a little nervous going into the game just because the floor was just so different. I could not hit a shot. And my coach actually came over to me and said, "Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?" And I was like, "I cannot hit a shot."
Hours before tip-off, the nerves had clearly passed.
We didn't go in the game with any trepidation. We just didn't entertain the negative outcome.
The first half belonged to Harvard and Allison Feaster.
Inside with a left-hand runner by Feaster, a four-point lead, and the Crimson enjoying it while it lasts. A 16-4 Harvard run. Feaster drills it from the foul line.
It really probably didn't matter who was guarding me that game. I don't think I could have stopped myself.
Ending a memorable first half for Harvard, and they have a 9-point lead on Snutton Stanford.
Running into the locker room at halftime in this really narrow hallway that reverberated and screaming at the top of our lungs, "Harvard Bumaye," which just means Harvard killed.
It took Stanford more than 10 minutes of the second half to pull even, and everyone wondered the same thing.
The sensation in the game was, when is the other shoe going to drop?
Okay, we're going to come back, we're going to snap out of it, but, you know, when is that going to happen?
Down by one with less than two to play, Harvard's Kathy Delaney Smith broke out the flashcard she'd made to combat the noise at Maple's Pavilion.
Miller! Huge shot by Susie Miller!
Still up by one with less than a minute to play, Miller all but ensured history.
Now a three-pointer for Miller. Buries it. Harvard's got a four-point lead with 45 seconds left.
Unbelievable shot. Just what Harvard needed.
The first win ever by a number 16 seed over a number one seed.
I remember going through the line, shaking Stanford player's hand, and just really being in shock. Did this happen?
It did happen 10 years ago. And the end of game hero, Susie Miller, is now Dr. Susie Miller.
Did I mention that it was still ladies basketball?
This guy comes up to me and goes, "Were you on that team?"
No.
And I was like, "What team?"
He's
like, "Oh, the team that beat Stanford." And I said, "Yeah, actually was." And he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Well, Susie Miller." And he goes, "You hit the shot! You hit the shot!"
A great story. Graduates from that Harvard team actually had class rings made on the inside of the ring. Is an inscription. It reads 7167 WBS.
A little bit cloudier. It's almost foggy outside right now, or just misty, I guess. Got some Osborne Brothers here for you. Fantastic old group.
Group. We still got a lot of games.
And,
keep the energy
got some up. Country harmony.
We need that effort. I'm shifting the time and chip away. They're not
we'll
that
come back
good.
After this break and
play your own game.
Our,
block everything. Pick
it up. Get on it.
You
got 3 minutes. I'm going to run.
Of coming in and upsetting. Here is the Osborne Brothers. I can hear Kentucky calling me.
I
can hear Kentucky calling me, whispering through my halls of memories. On the great field of Maple Hill, I love her then, I love her still. I can hear Kentucky calling me.
It is Kelly here, and here's a little clip from K-Fox TV. NMSU Aggies sell out NCAA ticket allotment, and it's the Aggies 23-10 versus as a 15 seed versus Kansas 26-8 as number two. Gonna be tough, but here's a little info on that.
Look what else happened. These are customized shoes that I didn't think I would get till April. They came.
Rita Travers is probably the biggest Aggie fan you'll ever meet, and she has been since the 1970s.
I can remember since I was an undergrad here at NMSU during the days of the amazing Aggies and the team that took us to the Final Four.
She bought a ticket and will be flying with the team to Nebraska.
I mean, me and numbers are bad. I happen to know how many steals Daniel had is more than 230, but as far as the money for the flight and the hotel and all that, it's a big chunk. But I were going on one of my other passions, smooth jazz cruises, and I didn't do that this year because I was looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. It's been crazy. But it's exciting.
NMSU ticket manager Patrick Kent was given 5